Hallelujah. Ready for the word?
Yes.
Praise God. Hallelujah.
I'll move your seat just a little bit.
Let's welcome the Christ in James.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Praise
Hallelujah.
God.
Hallelujah.
I know every one of us is thankful for all the hard work.
Amen.
That he. And what are you shaking your head for?
I didn't do anything.
Uh-huh. Well, that's not what it looked like with all the emails that kept coming.
I just like email.
Uh-huh. They all had your name on it. He asks more questions all the time, and then when he doesn't ask a question, Wanda asks one behind him. Yeah. Do you know something, Wanda? It's the same in our house. Only, maybe he can type faster than me. So I just say, well, Grace, you're asking the questions. You use the computer. And just put my name on it. So I'd like to thank both Grace and James for all the efforts. All the efforts. I don't think any of you know how much effort has gone into all this preparation. A lot of pressure, sometimes sweating, wondering. I know we're not supposed to worry, but you certainly get concerned. So let's just raise our hands, just bless him in Jesus' name.
Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Father. We thank you, Father. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Is that better? Okay. I want to just briefly show you how everything is tied together.
Yeah, man. That's good.
And I just wrote down a brief little statement about what each one has said this week. What I got out of it.
Yes.
You may not have got the same thing, but there was so much. Do you realize that we've probably had a year's worth of Bible training in about 4 days?
Yes.
There's a lot of meat, heavy meat, in everything that's been said. Now it's your responsibility to get in there and chew on it.
Yes.
Get to tapes. Take your notes. Work it out. Learn what the Spirit is saying through what's been said here this week. Fred talked about what the kingdom is. Bob talked about manifesting the kingdom. GC the first night talked about not being satisfied just to be on the edge of the kingdom. On the border. Sammy talked about restoring kingdom authority. Greg mentioned reckon yourselves dead, being dead to the world and alive in the kingdom. GC again spoke about now faith is, instead of by faith, through faith. Then again last night, preparing a place for the presence of the Lord. What does the word say about the kingdom? The kingdom is where? The kingdom of God is within you. Preparing a place for the presence of God. Lamar this morning, kingdom life, kingdom responsibility. What a tremendous week this has been. What a tremendous week. This morning I want to start over in 2 Samuel, and we're going to go several different places, but there's a scripture here that deals with some men that were David's men. And these men were supernatural, mighty men. And there was only a few of them. Jesus said, "Many are called, but few are chosen." Many are called, but few are chosen. We have been chosen to walk out this kingdom life.
Amen.
We have been chosen to fulfill everything that's been talked about this week.
Amen.
Yeah. It doesn't stop when we finish tonight. Andrew mentioned tonight is the final service.
Yeah.
Let's just say the next service, because it's not final.
That's right.
It goes on continually after we leave.
Glory, that's right.
Just because we leave this week doesn't mean it doesn't continue on.
Yes, brother, that's right. Hallelujah.
And on, and on, and on. 2 Samuel 23 and verse 8. These be the names of the mighty men whom David had. I want to stop there for a minute. And I want to talk to you a little bit about some of the characteristics of these mighty men. Number one, they had a vision. They saw David as the anointed king way before he was ever king. Who is our king? You can't have a kingdom without a king.
That's right.
What is our vision of Christ? Where do we see Christ? Do we see Him on the throne? This throne right here within us?
Yes.
Or do we see Him way out in the sweet by and by somewhere?
Yes. Amen.
Now faith is right now.
Yes.
It's not somewhere in the future.
Amen.
Where is Christ? Let's flip over to one scripture I'm going to read before we get over to Colossians. Over in Proverbs 29 and 18, it says, "Where there is no vision, the people perish."
Right.
It's very important. And a vision was talked about last night, a vision of a training center. We have in Arnoldsville, Georgia, the manifestation, the physical manifestation of a vision.
Amen.
It won't be long before Doncaster has a physical manifestation of a vision. If you don't have a vision, you don't have anything to go for. That's the key, having a vision. These men were men of vision.
Yeah.
Let's flip over to Colossians 3 just a minute. Verse 1. "If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God." Where do we have Christ seated? On the right hand of God. That's where we have to keep Him. That's the vision we have to maintain in our daily walk. We have to maintain that He is on the throne.
Amen.
He is in complete control.
Yes.
There's not a single thing that happens in your life that He hasn't allowed.
Amen.
That He can't deal with.
Amen.
He is the King. Absolute, complete. No other authority above Him. No principalities, no powers, no human beings, no governments, no whatever. He is the absolute authority. And that's where we have to continue to see Him. When Stephen was being stoned to death, what did he say? "I see Him standing at the right hand of God." Where do we see Christ? We must see Him on the throne. These men back in Samuel, they had vision. They saw David, who is a type of the Christ. They saw Him on the throne long before He was ever there. We have to be men and women of vision if we're going to continue in this kingdom life. If your vision fails, if it stops, you're in trouble. Let me show you what these guys did because of their vision. And first of all, let me show you who they were. They're not real important people. 1 Samuel chapter 22. "David therefore departed thence and escaped to the cave of Adullam. And when his brethren and all his father's house heard it, they went down thither to him." Now look who they were. "And everyone that was in distress." Anybody have any distress? We've all experienced distress. We all know what it feels like. "Everyone that was in debt My God. Who's not in debt? Everyone that was discontented. You ever been discontented? But these were not the upper crust. These were everyday, hard-working, struggling, not barely making it individuals. Put yourself, we all in the same boat. Let's see, what else is there? Gathered themselves together unto him, and he became a captain over them, and there were with him about 400 men. See, we have to gather ourselves unto Christ.
Yes, right.
See him as the absolute authority. See him as the king in the kingdom. Because without a king, you don't have a kingdom. You have chaos. Let's flip back over here to 2 Samuel. These be the names of the mighty men whom David had. The Tachmonite that sat in the seat, chief among the captains. The same was Adino the Esnite. He lifted up his spear against 800 whom he slew at one time. One man against insurmountable odds. What was another characteristic of him? He stood.
Amen.
What did Paul say? Whenever you've done all to stand,
Amen.
Stand therefore.
Amen.
See, whenever you've exhausted everything you can do, and sometimes God just lets us exhaust everything we can do, because as Lamar talked about this morning, we have to be dependent, totally dependent on Him. And when we try to take control and when we try to do it ourselves, He allows us the opportunity to exhaust all of our capabilities and go through till we can't go any further. And then He says, okay, it's my turn. Let me show you what we're going to do. And whenever He does, then we see the plan, the purpose, everything that He has in mind for us coming together. I thought so many times on this trip, will I ever get the thing put together? Every time I get one thing done, something else would come up. It's always that way. I mean, just over and over again. I thought after a couple of months, we got the airline tickets, I said, well, it's done. That just got us here. And back again. We got here and we could go back. And then constantly, every day, every week, something else coming up. And if I hadn't had the Lord to just go before me, I would have absolutely pulled my hair out sometimes. Because it was right up to the week before that... I know, it's falling out. Don't worry about it. Wanda says my face is getting longer. I didn't pull it out, though. But the Lord continued every week to go before and work things out. And see, that's the way He does every day. If we will allow Him, instead of getting all frustrated and upset and bent out of shape and just falling all over ourselves crazy, He can go through in His peace and calm and work things out. If we will stand back and allow Him to do that. And what did this guy do? He stood. He stood on that vision that he had, and 800 guys were slain with one guy. He stood. He remained firm. It's just like, I don't know what your rivers are over here. Most of them I've seen so far are fairly calm. But when you get up into the mountains in the United States, you've got some rivers that run very, very fast. And they move rocks. They move whatever gets in their way. But there's always some rocks out there in that river that don't get moved. They're hung. They're standing on a foundation that is immovable. See, when we're standing on that foundation of Christ, when He is the King, when we've got Him in the right place, We're immovable.
Amen.
We're not going to move.
Right.
You can face insurmountable odds and never be concerned about it. Because He is the power. He is the authority. He's the one that does the work. When we recognize that in this kingdom, we are subject unto Him.
Amen.
And He is everything.
Amen.
Verse 9 says, "And after him was Eleazar, the son of Dodo, the Ahohite." And I don't know if I pronounce these names right or not, so forgive me if I'm not, but you'll get the picture anyway. "One of the three mighty men with David, when they defied the Philistines that were there, gathered together to battle, and the men of Israel were gone away." Look at the church world today. You get a little bit too much pressure, and zoom, we're out of here. Sometimes we can be that way too. Let's just don't point our finger somewhere else. Because we can be the same way sometimes. When the pressure gets too hot, sometimes we want to hit the trail. When somebody says, when Andrew says something we don't like, sometimes we may want to hit the trail. But here again, there was also something mentioned this week about divine order. And an authority in place. And we have to remember who that is. Who God has set to be the leader. And even though we don't agree, I don't always agree with Brother McCurry. I've been sitting under his ministry since 1975, and there's been a lot of times I haven't agreed with him. But I ain't going nowhere because he's got the anointing. And I've been set under his leadership. And I don't care how many times I disagree with him, he's the leader. He's the set man. He's the one God has placed to develop me, to develop the ministry, to develop the Christ that's within me. Never, never, never go against the man of God. Because you're going against God Himself. The Word says, "Touch not my anointed, do my prophet no harm."
Amen.
Don't do like the people in the wilderness did, and they rose up in rebellion against Moses. What happened? The ground opened them up and swallowed them. We don't want to be in that company. We don't want to be in that rebellious company. And we have to very carefully guard ourselves a lot of times because feelings, thoughts, imaginations, all these things can get the better of your mind. See, your mind controls, in the natural, your mind controls everything you do. You don't do anything without that brain telling you to do it. But there's another thing about the brain or the mind. It also believes everything it hears. And you have to have the anointing to discern what's right and what's wrong. I've read a lot of books about psychology or mind, of the mind or whatever, and every one of them say the same thing. Your brain believes everything it sees or hears or reads. And you have to be able to decipher what's right and what's wrong. And see, we have to guard, and it's only through the Spirit of God that we can truly discern what's good and evil. I think Fred mentioned the scripture in Hebrews that says the Word of God is sharper than a two-edged sword, able to divide asunder soul and spirit. See, we have to operate under the control of the Spirit. When our mind becomes subject to the Spirit of God, we don't run at the first little sign of pressure. We don't take off at the first time we disagree with the man of God.
Amen.
You know, sometimes you may disagree, but if you sit back and listen and allow the Spirit to deal with you, most of the time He'll change your thinking.
Amen.
Change your stinking thinking. Let's look back over at Colossians a minute. Chapter chapter 3. And it says, set your affection or set your mind on things above, not on things of the earth. Where are we set? Where are we standing? Where have we got our feet planted? Is it on our ability, on our thinking, on what we've been trained to do? Or is it on the Spirit and allowing the spiritual voice, that still small voice, to guide and direct everything we do? That's where it has to be. It says, set your affection or set your mind on things above, not on things of the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. Hallelujah. Reckon yourselves dead. Ye are dead.
Amen.
We talked about being born again. How can you be born again except you first die? You're dead. And your life is hid with Christ in God. See, when you reckon yourselves dead, you don't have any problem with all these other natural things. You go down in that chapter, it lists off a bunch of them. Mortify the deeds of your body. And it just gives you quite a long list there. But see, you can't do that. You can't mortify the deeds of your body. It's the Spirit of God working within you. Fred mentioned the process of the kingdom. Learning this process. It's like manufacturing. You take a raw material and you run it through this process and out comes a product. Well, that's what's happening with us. Here's the raw material. God's running us through a process and in the end is the Son of God. He has given us the right or the privilege or the power to what? Become sons of God. But it takes that process. It takes that moving. It takes that working. It takes all the things that come against you to rub off the rough edges, to shine it up. You know, what did a diamond look like before it was a diamond? It looked like an old chunk of coal. But through the pressure and the stress and extreme pressure, it became a very beautiful stone. But it also, something else had to happen before it really became sparkling. It had to go through a cutting process. Certain edges had to be cut off. And this is what God is doing with us. We're all just chunks of coal. And He's putting us through the pressure, putting us through the process, and then He's going to cut on us a little bit. Purge us, that all of a sudden that brilliant, sparkling diamond is going to show forth. Amen. And the sons of God in this world, ain't going to be hard to recognize them.
Amen.
It wasn't hard to recognize Jesus.
Amen.
Even though He was just kind of a normal kind of guy. You know, we're just all kind of normal kind of people. But see, when that anointing is in you, and it's working a process out within you, there's something going on. And it ain't fun sometimes. But it works. And it gets the job done. And we come out the other side. Back over in Samuel, 2 Samuel. Said after all of Israel had fled, we don't want to be the ones that flee. We want to stand. He said, he arose and smote the Philistines until his hand was weary and his hand cleaved unto the sword. And the Lord wrought a great victory that day, and the people returned after him only to spoil. Several things I want you to see right there. He clung to that sword. What's the sword? The Word of God. He clung to that sword till they had to pry his fingers off of it. He could not even turn loose of it. But what happened? The Lord wrought a great victory because of that. And what's going to happen? When the people see the great victory, they're going to all come running back for the spoil. But somebody, just like was talked about Lamar this morning, we got to feed the sheep. It's our responsibility. See, God didn't choose people who weren't able to carry out the work that He couldn't equip. You know, there's some people you can't equip. Some people you absolutely can't do anything with. There's some people God can't do anything with because they got their own mindset. They're going to do what they want to do in spite of God and everything else. But see, when you become humble and you become submissive, and you allow God to work this process within you, then that kingdom life can blossom.
Amen.
And all those that are hungry can come and feed and be comforted and be lifted up and be developed.
Hallelujah.
And then verse 11, it says, "And after him was Shammah, the son of Agi, the Hararite. And the Philistines were gathered together into a troop, where was a piece of ground full of lentils, and the people fled from the Philistines." See, the enemy's always wanting to gather up around you and cause you a problem. Always wanting to be there. But there was a piece of ground. Ground and land, I think, in the Old Testament, same thing as spirit. We have to continually hold on to the spirit.
Amen.
Let me read something else here. It said, "There was a piece of ground full of lentils." A lentil is a type of bean, if I'm not mistaken. A bean or a seed of any kind, and I like to talk about seed because I'm in the seed business. A bean or a seed of any time has what within it? It has the germ of life.
Yes.
A piece of ground that was full of life. Spiritual life.
Amen.
And he stood in the midst of the ground. He stood in the midst of the Spirit, in the midst of the anointing, and defended it. We have to take up arms to defend the Spirit of God. I'm not talking about natural arms. I'm talking about spiritual arms.
Amen.
You know, it doesn't do any good to fight in the natural. You're fighting a losing battle when you're fighting in the natural.
Right.
We have to take up spiritual arms and do battle with the enemy. It's all part of the process. It's all part of the learning thing. But the Spirit of God, He stood in the midst of the ground, stood in the midst of the Spirit, and defended it. We can't turn loose of this life that we've got hold of.
Right.
We have to maintain it. We have to keep it. And this is not something you just, thank God I'm saved, I've got the Holy Ghost, I'm going to just sit here and soak it up.
Amen, brother.
No, sir. The Word said, and it's been, I think, Fred or someone, maybe Brother McCurry, said, endeavor, in Ephesians, endeavor to keep the unity of the Spirit.
Amen.
It takes a little effort. It takes a little work sometimes because our natural feelings, our natural emotions, everything about our natural body wants to rule, wants to take over, wants to cause us to try to be something that we're not. Try to put ourselves ahead of Christ. Try to put ourselves on the throne. But see, back over here in Colossians, verse 4, and God has been dealing with me about this verse here lately. It says, when Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall we also appear with Him in glory. We're not talking about Christ appearing 1,000 years from now or 100 years from now. We're talking about Him appearing now. Brother McCurry said, now faith is.
Yeah.
Now faith is.
Yeah.
Christ can appear now within us.
Yeah.
Are we going to allow Him to, or are we going to keep on doing what we want to do?
Right.
What are we going to decide to do? See, every moment of every day, we can choose which direction we want to go. We can either choose to be submissive to the Spirit, or we can choose to just go our own way. And some of the things we do are good. There's nothing wrong with it. But if the Spirit is not directing you and guiding you, it's no good. You're just spinning your wheels. You're not doing anything. See, this kingdom walk is a spiritual walk.
Amen.
The kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
In the Holy Ghost. If you don't understand that it's all Spirit, it's all Him, then you're not going to make it. You're not going to make it. You have to come to the point that no matter what's going on, the Spirit has always got to be right there showing you what to do.
Amen.
Directing your path, moving you in the right direction. It's kind of hard sometimes when I grew up in a family that's pretty educated. Just all my sisters, me and my two sisters went to college. My dad and all his brothers and sisters went to college. You know, we pretty well educated. Paul was a real educated fellow. Let's flip over to Philippians a minute. It's back the other way, James. Verse 4 in chapter 3 of Philippians, he says, though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any other man thinketh that he hath whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more. Paul, one of the greatest apostles, if there's any, if we can speak of him, like Brother McCurry said, he wasn't without error. We try to put him up there next to Christ sometimes, but he wasn't there.
Amen. Good.
He had errors. He did things wrong. We all do things wrong. But Paul said, I had more reason to be in the flesh or trust in the flesh than anybody else. If I'm not mistaken, was it 7 or 9 languages he spoke fluently? I don't remember which one, but it was a lot of them. I have a hard time with South Georgia English. Not more. And English, I really have a hard time with. But Paul spoke fluently many languages. He was, let's read on down here. He said, circumcised the 8th day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of the Hebrews, as touching the law, a Pharisee. Man, he was steeped in tradition. He had more tradition than most any of us ever thought about having. Concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. He didn't do anything wrong. He went right by the letter of the law. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Not 4, 2, 3, 1, 6 or something, but 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Just exactly like he was supposed to go, according to his tradition. He said, but what things were gained to me, those I counted lost for Christ.
Hallelujah.
I don't care where you are. I don't care how educated you are or how uneducated you are. You cannot depend on anything other than Christ. Paul said, I count it all as dung. That's pretty bad. It's pretty smelly, isn't it? I count it all as dung. All that I've had before, all the religious training, all the secular training, all of everything that I've had before is absolutely worthless. It's completely nothing because Christ He says, "Yea, doubtless I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ."
Hallelujah.
Christ is the only thing that's important.
Yes.
Christ is our life.
Amen.
These mighty men had this vision because they saw David, who is a type of Christ. They saw him on the throne.
Yes.
They were debtors. They were in distress. They were hurting. They were searching for something, and they found it in David before he... And he was running for his life. He was hiding out in a cave. See, God's got a lot of people hid out. He's got a lot of little small groups like harvest fields hid out. And He's working on them. He's processing them. He's training them. He's getting rid of all the old tradition. Wiping out all the education. Wiping out what Mama and Daddy tried to tell you about religion. Because He wants to tell you what it is.
Amen.
He wants to direct your path. He needs and wants to be on the throne.
Amen.
And if we don't put Him there, we've lost.
Right.
We'll never move anywhere else.
Yes, sir.
We'll always be sitting back on the back row thinking we're going somewhere when we're not going anywhere.
Amen. That's right.
And if we don't get on the train with Him and listen for Him and place Him in the proper place, holding the head
Amen.
In His rightful place,
yeah.
putting Him on the throne. That's what Paul was saying here. He said, "I count them but dung that I may win Christ and be found in Him, not having mine own righteousness." You know, we talk about over there in Colossians where it says, "Mortify the deeds of your body." You know, there's so many religions and so many churches that want to give you a whole thick book of do's and don'ts. You can't do this, you can do this. You better do this, you better not do that. You can't do that. It's impossible for you to do and not do everything they say. It's only through the life of Christ that you can mortify the deeds of your body. No other way. If you try to do it, you're going to fail miserably. You can't do it. It says, "Not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, which is of man, which is of tradition." You know, we all like to get a little pat on the back here. Oh, you've done good. If you can mortify the deeds of your body. No other way. If you try to do it, you're going to fail miserably. You can't do it. It says, "Not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, which is of man, which is of tradition." You know, we all like to get a little pat on the back here. Oh, you've done good. You really done. That's why, Andrew was kind of patting me on the back here. But see, Christ, the Spirit, put this trip together.
Yeah.
All the obstacles that came up was only to allow us to trust Him more.
Yeah.
To get through the situation. I didn't do anything. I just happened to be an instrument.
Yes.
But Christ, the Spirit, goes before us, making the way when it seems like there is no way.
Amen.
Clearing the path. Every little obstacle comes up, you just move around it, over it, under it, or something. You just keep going.
Amen.
Because the Spirit is going before you. Said, "Which is of the law, but that which is through faith," wait a minute now, "of Christ." Not my faith. Not my faith. My faith's nothing. But when we can operate in the faith of Christ, the same faith that He used when He walked on this earth.
Hallelujah.
See, most people think that, oh, Jesus was God. He could do anything. Jesus laid down His deity.
Amen.
He laid down His deity and He came on this earth and became submissive, obedient unto death.
Yeah, amen.
He didn't want to go through it. He said, "Father, if it be Thy will, If it be thy will, let this cup pass from me. But then he said, nevertheless, not my will, but thy will. Nevertheless, not my will. See, that's where we get in a problem. I want to do what I want to do. Everybody wants to do their own thing. But Jesus said, not my will, but thy will be done. And he laid down his life willingly. See, we have to willingly lay down our life. Quit being James and allow Christ to be manifested. See, we have the right and the privilege to become sons of God. To let the Son of God be manifested up through us. You want to see miracles? You want to see things happening? You want to see supernatural acts? Allow the Christ to be manifested up through you. Brother McCurry has demonstrated this week, with Helen in particular. I don't remember the others, but just exactly how the anointing can deal with situations. We can all do that. We can all walk out in this world, meet somebody in a mall, train station, or wherever, and minister life to them.
Amen.
This kingdom is a kingdom of life.
Yes.
Life of the Son of God. Manifested sons of God. And the Spirit flowing everywhere we go.
Yes.
Flowing out from
Hallelujah.
Us. Rivers of life.
Amen.
He said, out of your belly shall flow rivers of life. Not a little bitty little stream, a raging river. Rivers of life. More than one. Big river. You know, the Mississippi River in some places is at least a mile across. That's pretty wide. See, rivers, bunches of rivers, lots of life flowing out of us.
Hallelujah.
Said that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection. I don't know if we want to read this next thing or not. And the fellowship of His sufferings. You know, I just get kind of tired of all these preachers saying, you know, just come to Christ and everything will be lovely. I'm afraid it's not that way. The fellowship of His suffering.
Amen.
That we might have life.
Amen.
Being made conformable unto His death, if by any means I may attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Let's flip back to 2 Samuel because I'm beginning to run out of time here. He said, He defended the ground and slew the Philistines, and the Lord wrought a great victory. He operated in that life, in that spirit. There's no way these three guys could have done what they did on their own.
That's right.
They had a supernatural power that allowed them to accomplish what happened, that went before them and made a way. But I want to read something else about these three guys here. And I think it's very important. It says, and three of the 30 chief went down and came to David in the harvest time into the cave of Adullam. And the troop of Philistines pitched in the valley of Rephaim. And David was then in a hole, and the garrisons of the Philistines was then in Bethlehem. And David longed and said, oh, that one would give me drink of the water of the well of Bethlehem, which is by the gate. Sometimes the man of God gets weary. The battle gets tough. And we, as the captains, the people, have to be willing to do whatever it takes.
Amen.
We have to honor the man of God.
Amen.
And the three mighty men broke through the host of Philistines, drew water out of the well of Bethlehem that was by the gate, and took it and brought it to David. Hallelujah. Nevertheless, he would not drink thereof, but poured it out unto the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Three guys, I don't know how much a troop is. I don't know how many soldiers are in a troop. They fought their way through to the well. They fought their way back to bring David a drink of water. What is the scripture? I don't remember exactly, but you give a cup of water to in the name of a prophet, you get a prophet's reward. Christ on the throne, the man of God, also has to be honored.
Amen.
We can't forget that. It's so easy sometimes to want to let our natural thinking and our natural eyes and our ears and them old crazy feelings rule what we do. But we have to stay locked in to the vision. Locked in to Christ. Locked in to what He's doing. Not being moved by what we see, hear, or feel. And allowing Him to rule in every aspect of our life. And see, don't forget this. We've been learning a lot about divine order the last few years. Don't misunderstand the importance of God's order. What does Job say? Bring the order of heaven down to this earth. It's real important that we understand divine order is God's way. It's not our way. It's God's way. And we better learn to operate in it. We better learn to be humble and submissive and obedient. Because the very minute we move out from under that covering, you're treading on dangerous ground. You're treading on dangerous ground. We have to understand that God, Christ is on the throne, and He has His order.
Amen.
And if we are the obedient soldiers or men and women of God, whatever you want to call us, sons of God, we're going to line up in that order.
Yes. Amen.
We're not going to be over here somewhere and over there somewhere and way out yonder somewhere. We're going to line up in that order.
Amen.
You know, I watched a movie not long ago about the American Revolution, which y'all probably don't want to hear about, but... One of the things about the British Army, it was so well trained and so formidable that the Americans really had a very hard time because they were in order. They, everyone had a place and they knew what to do. See, that's the way we got to be. Everyone has a place and we got to know what to do. And we got to move by Christ, move by Him. Not our own will, not what we want to do, but humbly and submissively moving in His life.
Amen.
Praise God.
Hallelujah.
That's it.